God is our refuge and strength and very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This is a theme that focuses on God and on the faith, trust, and dependence that we can have in God. Now, verse 10, if you have your Bible open yet, let's read it together out loud. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. What we find in this particular psalm, which has been called a song of holy confidence, we find in verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. If you'll turn to Ezekiel, keep your place in Psalm 46, but turn to Ezekiel 47. In Ezekiel 47, we read a fascinating passage. Some have called it a picture of the Holy Spirit. Others have identified it as a picture of God's grace. Verse 1 of Ezekiel 47, afterwards he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knee. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. There is a river.
Amen.
And some have identified, as you saw the picture on the depth, going from the ankle to the knee to the loin, and then finally so deep you had to swim in it. And picturing the work of the Holy Spirit of God tied with that, as some have viewed it, as a picture of the grace of God. When a person first gets saved, their experience would be ankle deep. Yeah. They've just gotten saved. They're just learning. They're just beginning. But as they stay with the Bible, as they stay with the Word of God, and as they grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then as they grow, they can be described as being knee deep. And you get the picture as to why it is showing this. And so there is a river. There's a gospel song that goes with that. And I do not remember it. Do you remember the, what song is it?
There is a river.
Wow, that's profound. Neil liked that. Okay, is that the one? Boy, how does that go? Would you sing it?
The chorus is, there is a river that flows from deep within. There is a mountain that saves the soul from sin. Come to the water, there is a vast supply. Come to the river, it never shall run dry.
Yes, yes, and we don't know the... Boy, if we only knew the verses to that.
I've heard that song.
Yeah,
time,
yeah. It is. And it very clearly depicts this passage. But you see, we are back in Psalm 46, where we have this song of confidence in God. And when he says, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and swell thereof, don't panic. There's a river. The streams whereof shall make glad. The city of God. Make glad the city of God. Psalm 122 and verse 6. Take the time to turn to it. Psalm 122 and verse 6 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the city of God. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And my indeed, that is a plea that every Orthodox Jew has, and every Christian who shares in the instructions in the Word of God regarding Israel is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You say, how come you said Orthodox Jew? Because the agnostic Jew, the atheistic Jew, the nationalistic Jew, just because they're a Jew by nationality does not make them a follower of Jehovah. Okay? And so that's why I specified that. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. It's interesting if you keep your place again in Psalm 46, if you turn to John chapter 7, the Gospel of John in the New Testament. The Gospel of John chapter 7. Gospel of John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. A river of living water. Ezekiel talked about a river. and a river that would increase. When a person gets saved, that's wonderful, but it's only the beginning. Only the beginning. Now, closest thing to a baby when we started coming here was Katie. Yeah, he was real little, okay? And we've seen her grow. We've seen her get bigger.
Amen.
And that's good. That's the way it's supposed to be. Oh, yeah, it is. Mama says no, no. But yeah, it is. She's supposed to grow. Now, Trevor, he was younger, but he wasn't as young as what Katie is. And but look at this, good night. Trevor's growing up, becoming a right fine-looking young fella. Well, you're almost as good-looking as your brother. Now, I'm not trying to start trouble. Okay? I may have done it, but I'm not trying. Yeah, what's the point? The point is when a person gets saved, they're expected to grow. You know, it's good. We get excited about somebody when they get saved. When they get born again, we get excited about them getting saved. But there's nothing to be excited about when 5 years later, they're at the same point and level of faith and belief and understanding. That's sad. That's sad. Even our precious Rayanne, with her limitations, is growing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You. John and Kristen, if you had been here Sunday, I had the girls take up the Sunday school offering. And Rayanne has become one of our girls to take up the Sunday school offering. And she does. She's grown. She's progressed. There was a time she wouldn't have been able to do that. And every Christian, every person that gets saved should be growing. There should be evidences of it. Now, some grow faster than others. And that's a whole other subject as far as why that happens and all. But the fact is, everybody can grow. Everybody can. This is a song of holy confidence, this Psalm 46. And then I want you to notice also in verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. That is probably, you know, how do you say something is your favorite in the Bible? There's so many things. But that, I can say, amongst the names of God, that is one that is special. Turn, if you will, to Genesis chapter 14. I am indebted for what I'm going to share with you to a missionary who is now in heaven. His name, Daryl Champlin. He did pioneer missionary work in Suriname, South America. And he is the one who did the teaching, some of which I'll be sharing here in these next few minutes. And it has to do with that name, the Most High. Look at it in Genesis 14, verse 17. The king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him. Now, what we're talking about here is bad kings, evil kings, wicked kings, and they were kings of city states. Okay? When we say king today, you know, you think of large kingdoms, okay? These were like city-states, but they were the kings of it. And they went out at the valley of Sheba which is the king's dale. It's a place where kings did meet. And then verse 18, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought, now if you've been in the Bible to any amount of time, you know that name Melchizedek. That's a good name. That's a positive name. And not easy always to understand about Melchizedek. But Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest. This king was a priest, a king priest of the Most High God. See, that's just what was said back in Psalm 46, the Most High God. Now, in Hebrew, that's El Elyon. Boy, I remember the first time I heard that phrase, El Elyon. Whoa, that's impressive. El Elyon. That's almost mesmerizing, you know? And talking here about El Elyon, the Most High, is what it means. That's all it means, Most High. Elyon simply means Most High. And so, verse 19, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God. So Melchizedek, who was of the Most High God, said a blessing on Abram, who is also identified as of the Most High God. And this Most High God is the possessor of heaven and earth. What that means, he is the master of the universe. You may recall me saying how a preacher was preaching one time on this, and a kid said, no, that can't be. And then he named whatever the current superhero was that was called the master of the universe. He said, He-Man? Okay. He-Man, he's master of the universe. No, long before that guy was ever thought of. God said that he was the master of the universe. And Melchizedek verified it. Abram verified it. Blessed be the Most High God, verse 20, which hath delivered the enemies into thy hand. And so what we find here now is, again, the psalmist is repeating something many, many years later, centuries later, regarding what God has revealed himself as, and that is the Most High God. And in Psalm 46 and verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. So here were these kings, bad kings from these evil city-states going out to go to refute Abram. And Melchizedek, the king priest, who was considered to be a type of Jesus Christ, and in that sense a forerunner of Jesus Christ. And here the psalmist says, be still. Don't get all up in arms. Don't get beside yourself. Don't get bent out of shape. Okay? Be still. And know that I am God. He's the Most High. And he will be exalted among the heathen and among the earth. And that's exactly the case. It was not only true in Melchizedek with Abram. It's not only true in David's day, but it's true in our day. And praise God, and I can't wait to see it. It's going to be true in the day that Jesus comes again. Mm-hmm. When he comes back to this earth, he's going to set everything right and in order. And it doesn't matter whether it's in Washington, D.C., London, England, or in China? What's China? Peking, that's it. All right, I knew it was something over there. And it doesn't matter what big city it's in, what capital it's in, Jesus Christ is going to be sitting on the throne of David. And hallelujah, the mosque will be gone. Yeah. The dome of the rock will not be anymore. Because Jesus Christ is going to be sitting on the throne of David in Jerusalem. Okay? That city of God. And my, if we had time, we could go and look at the book of Revelation. And there in the book of Revelation, we would be able to see about that end time and that city, the description of it, where there's trees on both sides of the rivers. And trees representing the nations of Israel. Let them rage on as they endeavor to do away with and to put down Israel. And it may happen to some extent. What we see in our lifetimes, it could be that it will look like Israel is, oh, they're going to do away with it. Oh, they're going to do it in. Oh, it looks like the Arabs are going to take over. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We know the end of the book. Okay? And because we know the end of the book, we know what the winner's going to be. You know, some people do that. They get a book and they turn to the last chapter and they read the last chapter. Okay? And then they go back to the front and then they start. And the things they read about it in between, you see, they're not worried anymore because they know how it ends. All right? That's the same way. Some people, you know, when we're here in the middle of things, at whatever point in time in between, don't worry. Don't get upset. We know what the end of the book says. Father in heaven, hear our prayers as we receive behalf of others.
All right, you men are going to go back in their room.